If I was to start tonight by saying, once upon a time, you would know that I was going to tell a... Good. And if I was to start tonight by saying, there was an Englishman, Irishman and a Scotsman, you'd know that I was about to start a... Great. The Christmas story doesn't start like either of those. As we're told with this first stamp in Luke chapter 2, it starts with the words... In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And then it adds for good measure that Quirinius was governor of Syria. Caesar Augustus was a real person. Here he is. That's his Facebook page. He was the Roman emperor. And actually, it's really interesting, the census was incredibly important to him. There's a Roman historian called Tacitus who records that when Caesar Augustus died, he died with the handwritten results of that census by the side of his bed. Because you see, Caesar took this census as the Roman emperor to find out how powerful he was, how important he was. And he took the results to his deathbed. And then you have that bit about Quirinius being governor of Syria. What's that all about? Well, the point is this. It's Luke's way of saying to everybody who ever hears this story, people, this actually is true. It really happened. This is not a story. It's not a joke. Caesar Augustus really issued a decree. There really was a census. Quirinius really was governor of Syria. Luke was absolutely convinced that the story he was telling was real. How about you? Could you ever dare to believe that the story that we're singing about tonight actually happened? What would it take for the words to come off the Bible and be lived? What would it take for the carols to stop being words you sing to beliefs that you build your life upon? What would it take? Sometimes we make the mistake that people in those days were just that little bit more superstitious, naive and gullible, and it was easier to believe in those days. Let me tell you, virgin births and angels are highly improbable in any generation. Mary lived her whole life under the judgment and ridicule of many of her neighbours. The Bible records how the Jews enjoyed saying to Jesus, where's your father? We're not illegitimate. That first Christmas, it was no easier to believe then than it is now. For me to really believe the Christmas story, I need three things. I need to be intellectually convinced that it's true. I need to see that faith works, and I have to experience something supernatural and beyond me to really believe. And what I find absolutely fascinating about the Christmas story is that all three things are there. The people who had an intellectual journey to faith, people who needed to see that faith worked in practice, and people that had to have a supernatural experience. The Magi, as seen on these stamps, they were the Babylonian astronomers. They were the intellectuals of their day. You know, they were incredible mathematicians. They were the first guys, and they were taught. This is 1,800 years before Jesus was born. These magi started searching the sky. They worked out the difference between stars and planets, that the planets were the ones that moved and the stars that didn't. They got so good at maths that they could plot where the stars would be in the sky years and years ahead. These guys were the first people to take a circle and divide it into 360 degrees. They were brilliant. And when a star appeared that they weren't expecting, and it seemed to hang in the sky a bit different to all the rest, they journeyed after it because the Magi believed in the supernatural. And so, driven by intellectual pursuit, they set out on a journey to find Jesus. And like all intellectual journey of faiths, it was a long journey. It took time, but eventually they found the Jesus that they were looking for. Some of you here tonight have done our CSI course this year, Christian Spirituality Investigated. And as one lawyer on the course said to me, he said, I deal with evidence all the time, and I am very impressed with the hard evidence for Jesus. But believing intellectually in Jesus is not the same as faith. Another man on that course said to me, actually, I've got to the point where I believe I just don't follow yet. And he was wise to say so. There's more to being a follower of Jesus than just believing. But the second thing I need to believe is not just to be intellectually convinced. I need to see that belief actually works in practice, to see that faith makes a difference in the world. One of the forgotten stories of that first Christmas is the story of how an old priest, Zechariah, came to believe. His was not an intellectual journey. His was essentially a pragmatic journey. He came to believe because he was made to believe because of what he saw unfold in front of him. One day, a messenger from God, an angel called Gabriel, appeared to this old man. Zechariah was at work in the temple, and the angel said that he was to be the father of John the Baptist, the one who would prepare the way for what Jesus was going to announce. And he tells Zechariah that he's going to be a dad years after he got his bus pass. And Zechariah grins at him and says, how can I be sure of this? And those were the last words he spoke for 9 months as he was struck dumb. And it was only when his old wife gave birth to John that Zechariah spoke again, and that the faith that worked convinced him that the message was true. His was an essentially pragmatic faith. I was on the phone this afternoon to one of the boys who has grown up in the slums of Calcutta, and whose family's life has been transformed by the project we've given to tonight. His name's Janay. For the second year running, he's just got a first at university. He was rescued out of the poorest of the poor homes and given an education. The guy's brilliant. And when I rang him, he was in a jungle, 24 hours train ride from Calcutta, telling other people about the difference that Christ and the difference that the project has made to his life. And I spoke to him this afternoon because it was his 21st birthday. He's an amazing guy. And when I see things like that, I'm convinced that intellectually Christianity might be true, but I'm convinced that pragmatically it works also. But the last thing I need to have real faith is I need to have a supernatural experience. And in my experience, that came after I took steps to faith. But in the Christmas story, supernatural experiences are all over the place. Take the shepherds. Today, we're worried about knife-carrying gangs of hoodies. In those days, they wandered the hills and were called shepherds. Shepherds were thugs. Palestinian sheep farming seems to have worked on the basis that the harder and tougher your shepherds were, the less likely you were to have your sheep nicked. Yet angels appeared to them on the hillside, and in one profound spiritual experience convinced them of the birth of God's Son, and they believed in a moment. This week we said goodbye to one of our dear friends. It was the funeral of Audrey Lawrence. And I remember when Audrey rang me maybe 8-9 years ago. I'd never met her before, and I picked up the phone in the office and she said, I need to talk to a priest. So I said, well, I'm not a priest, but I'm happy to come and talk to you. She said, would you come round now? So I went round now. She said, young man, I liked Audrey. She said, young man, I have just come out of hospital where I nearly died. And when I was unconscious, I had an experience which I think was of God and I don't understand. And I want to tell you about it. So she told me about this near-death experience. So she gets to the end of this and says, so what was that about? So I said, Audrey, I don't know, but let me tell you the simple truth of Christianity, because the Christian faith is essentially very simple. I said, God made a perfect world, and we have messed it up so profoundly that it's beyond our saving. And she said, that's absolutely right. I said, okay. So I said, now every other religion in the world, in some way or another, tries to get human beings to work their way back towards God. But God knows that that's a fruitless task because he's holy and perfect. So in Jesus, he steps into the darkness to rescue us. And she said, that's absolutely right. That's what I saw. I said, okay. So I said, yeah, it's really very simple. His death on the cross made forgiveness possible. That's what the message of this stamp says. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And by rising from the dead, he made a different future possible for the whole world. That's what it says on this stamp. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And as I got to the end of my explanation of the Christian faith, she said, "That's it. That's what I saw. That's what I want to become." And so there in her front room 8 or 9 years ago, I prayed with her that she would become a follower of Jesus. And all her family this week in her funeral recognized that that one supernatural experience in hospital changed the rest of the quality of her life. People journey to faith in different ways then as now. It's the destination, not the route, which is of primary importance. And there's one more thing I want to say about the Christmas story before we get our glow sticks going. When God's Son came to earth, ordinary people were invited to take part, to join in, to take starring roles in this unfolding story. That first Christmas could not have happened without Mary, Joseph, Zechariah, John the Baptist, shepherds, wise men, and all the others taking their place. Some played their parts brilliantly, and others, like the innkeeper and Herod, fluffed their lines badly. They excluded themselves from the story. But 2011 Christmases later, the nature of faith has not changed. The God of all the earth is at work in rescuing the world through his Son, Jesus. That's what Christmas is about. And those who believe are invited to take their place in that unfolding story. That's why this church, Maybridge Community Church, exists. That's why every church exists. To partner with God's unfolding story of rescuing the world through his Son. As it says on that stamp, God is with us and he makes that possible. So today, the true meaning of Christmas might be a hidden secret, but it was then too. God came quietly at that first Christmas and still does. Christmas truth was an endangered species then and it is now. God came almost imperceptibly that first Christmas, other than to a handful of people, and still does. God came in obscurity that first Christmas and still does. God came humbly that first Christmas and still does. But make no mistake, God came. And now as then, we are all invited to believe, to worship, and to join in this unfolding story of God rescuing the world through Jesus. As you leave this evening, you're going to be given a booklet that will help tell the story of Christmas more eloquently than I've been able to do this evening. Because we long for people to know this story for themselves. But now, to the visual aid. How many people have got a glow stick? Just, okay. Has everybody got one? Maybe not everyone, but most people. Okay, so, don't light it yet. Some people have lit it already. The whole point of the Christmas story is that, okay, don't get excited, it's not yet. We are invited to join in this story. 2,000 years ago, a light shone over Bethlehem and a light came into the world. And Jesus invites us this evening to believe this story, that it really happened, that God shed his light in the world through Christ. He can shed his light in our lives, that we would no longer walk in darkness, and that by walking with him, we might bring light to a dark world. So watch the screen. Watch for the countdown carefully, and when it says go, break the sticks and wave them about like mad people. Here we go. In a moment, you really enjoyed that, didn't you? In a moment, we're going to sing our closing carol, but let's pray. Dear Father,